equipment to see if it's working properly.
Today's date is January 26, 1991. I'm in the home of Mr. Robert Winston in Raleigh, North Carolina. Mr. Winston is the principal of Wake Forest Roseville High School in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Now, Mr. Winston, I'd like for you to introduce yourself and say that you know that this is being recorded.
Okay, I'm Robert Winston, and I am aware that this is being recorded.
All right, Mr. Winston, I really appreciate you answering my questionnaire. I'm doing some research. I'm trying to compare the role perceptions of black high school principals. And I'm interviewing principals who were principal in 1964 and principals in 1989. In 1964, there were over 200 black high school principals. And when I wrote at call to the State Department last year to ask for a listing of minority principals, they sent me 41. And I found that some of the principals are not principals of what we call traditional high schools. Some of them are principals of these of alternative schools.
Right.
And I just want you to share with me. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I would like for you to give me the information if you would. Mm-hmm. How did you become a high school principal?
I became a high school principal after being a middle school principal for 3 years in what I think was a very difficult situation. I became a middle school principal at a school basically that many principals probably did not want, and I think that was sort of a test to test my administrative skills, and I was successful for 3 years, and after that I was promoted to a high school principal. Also, I became a high school principal because at that time the Wake County school system, which has 12 high schools, had no black high school principals except one, and this person had already announced that he would be retiring within 2 years. So I think that I became a high school principal somewhat because of the need to have that one token principal out there.
But you told me that you had been a teacher, a band director before.
Right.
So did you start as a band director, or were you a classroom teacher?
I was a band director for 15 years in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was a band director for about 10 years, took an interim position as an assistant principal at a high school, decided that I didn't want to continue administration until I got my proper credentials, so mm-hmm. I went back to being a band director and went over to the University of North Carolina and picked up my administration certification. Then I felt that I was truly qualified to be in administration, and it wouldn't be the question of whether I had the proper credentials. After about the 15th year as band director, I became a high school assistant principal again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at Wake Forest Roseville, where I'm now principal. I worked 3 years as an assistant principal there, and then when the opportunity became available to become a middle school principal, I took that mm-hmm. job mm-hmm. and stayed there 3 years, and then returned to Wake Forest Roseville.
I see. All right, now I want you to tell me something about the school, Wake Forest Roseville, and I will just tell me something about the composition, the racial composition, the staff, the community. I'll tell you about the school.
Wake Forest Roseville was a small high school 3 years ago when I came there as a principal. We had roughly 700 students. And the makeup was roughly 25% minority, 75% majority. That is changing each year. We went through a massive student reassignment program here in Wake County, wherein a lot of North Raleigh area students were transferred to Wake Forest. Incidentally, I live in North Raleigh, and mm-hmm. students north of the Rant Road, just down the street from here, mm-hmm. attend my school. North Raleigh is supposed to be the ritzy part of Wake County, and Raleigh, and is supposed to be supposed to have the best schools. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a resistance for those people to transfer to Wake Forest Roseville, but we've managed. We now have over 1,000 students, and next year we have projected we will have 1,150, and eventually we will reach our capacity, which is 1,500 students. With the transfer of North Raleigh students to the school, our minority population continues to decrease. We are at right at 20 or just under 20% minority as far as students are concerned. As far as staff is concerned, we are a little worse off. We're like 18% minority. I have three teachers, three minority teachers, blacks, all female, who are in the academic areas. I have two black males in the vocational area. And of course, my being principal, I count into that minority mm-hmm. figure. We have a minority teacher teaching a reading program, and we have two in physical education, and that's basically it.
Mm-hmm. How many staff members do you have?
We have, if you count counselors and all support staff, we have 65.
What about the community? Well, you did say the community network. Is your school a new school?
No, it isn't. It has been in existence since the 50s, mm-hmm. and we've had a massive building program where we expanded. The campus is probably three times the size that it was originally. It's located right in the city limits of Wake Forest. It used to be the white high school, and then it was integrated with the black school there, which was DuBois High School. From there, in the early 70s, Roseville High School, which had been a predominantly white school, was merged with Wake Forest. Therefore, we became Wake Forest Roseville High School. Most of the people in Wake Forest, most of the minority people in Wake Forest were pretty much at the poverty level when all this merger took place. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing some emergence of a black middle class, but they are very small in number mm-hmm. who attend the school.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to ask you something about the responsibilities you have and how you deal with them at your school. Would you talk about supervision of personnel and how you select your teachers?
Okay, let's talk about teacher selection first, and then I'll get into supervision. Wake County has a screening system wherein all applicants are screened before principals actually look at applicants and recommend applicants. I personally think the system is biased, and one reason for my thinking that is that persons conducting the interview of anyone applying to Wake County are not necessarily the same people all of the time. None of these people have had much training on screening applicants. The system pretty much sends out notices to administrators and say, we need help in screening these applicants. If there's a principal around who wants to help, or an assistant principal, come down and help us, and they give you a bunch of dates that you can choose. So I would imagine that even though most administrators will try to be very objective, there's a lot of subjectivity that comes into play there, a lot. We recommend teachers from that list. Of course, we interview them and recommend them from that list that Wake County has established. The problem that I see is we don't find many minorities on that list, and if we find them on that list, their ranking may be lower than a lot of the other applicants, which creates a problem for a principal, because when we recommend that a person be hired to the Board of Education, they really frown upon recommending people with a lower rating when you've got all these people with the high ratings mm-hmm. out there. I have managed in two cases when I was at middle school and at the high school last year to get an application through to hire a minority who was rated real low. And in both of those cases, they've proven to be excellent teachers. It's just, I think the system creates a problem in the way that we screen the applicants. As far as supervising personnel, I have two assistant principals. One pretty much in a traditional role of buses, discipline, that type of thing. And then I have a curriculum and instruction assistant principal. And that person does a lot of the classroom observations and actually completing the TPAIs for teachers. I do about 25% of that, and the teachers that I target basically are the new teachers. I want to be sure that every new teacher that I get a chance to look at them. And I also want to be involved with the marginal teacher, those who may have been around there forever, but needs a little supervision. We are moving toward involving departmental chairs a lot more. We are a Senate Bill 2 school. We are experimenting with site-based management, and we're getting department chairs more involved, and hopefully that's going to work out.
Instruction and curriculum and instruction. Mm-hmm. And you kind of alluded to that with your assistant helping you there. Mm-hmm. But how much are you involved?
I'm quite involved as far as program implementation, as far as actually leading the staff. And I do a lot of this leadership is provided, again, through departmental chairpersons. I try to make sure that anything that we're doing in the area of curriculum and instruction, that I am on top of it, that I'm aware of it. There's somewhat of a problem when you have a curriculum and instruction assistant principal who's doing just that. If you aren't careful, that person can emerge as the instructional leader in a school, especially when that person happens not to be a minority. So I have to work especially hard to make sure that I am perceived as the instructional leader. We've done some exciting things, I think. Since I've been there, we've implemented the PODEA program, which is integrating English and social studies. We are experimenting with something this year we refer to as Connections, wherein we are integrating not only English and social studies, but also math and science. Mm-hmm. And we're piloting this program with a freshman class, and we're using a lot of technology to assist in instruction in that area. So we try to stay right in there.
Good. Discipline.
Discipline is still a major function of mine. I don't handle the day-to-day routine things, but the major violation of board policies, I am involved with that. No student can be suspended from my school without my approval and signature. The assistant principal can recommend, but if it's an offense that's so serious that a suspension is necessary, then that assistant principal must consult with me and bring me up to date on what's happening with that student, and then we will make the decision as to what to do with that student.
Transportation?
Very little involvement. We have transportation supervisors for each of the 12 high schools in this district, and they supervise not only the high school transportation but the area elementary and middle schools that feed into that high school. It's a full-time person responsible for recruiting and employing bus drivers, responsible for all aspects of bus transportation with the exception of establishing the bus route. That is still the principal's responsibility by law. So that responsibility is delegated to my assistant principal, and I am only involved when there are cases of parents appealing routes or bus stops, that type of thing. But for the most part, I'm not that involved with transportation.
Utilization of funds.
Well, I am the school's budget manager, so I manage all funds available to us at the school. Quite frankly, central office has so much control over funds, and there's not a whole lot of flexibility there. And when you consider the control at the central level, plus inflexibility in the past in dealing with funds, hadn't done much. This year's been interesting. As a Senate Bill 2 school, we can move funds around and all that. So that's becoming an interesting area.
Cafeteria management.
I maintain a very good relationship with my cafeteria manager, as you may describe.
You get the extras.
I find that the cafeteria manager and the cafeteria workers, that is a network of people who can do a lot to help school. They can, you can learn a lot about what the perception of the school is from just people in the community, from cafeteria people. So I visit the cafeteria every day that I'm on campus, whether I'm going to eat or not. I try to stop by there in the morning when students are having breakfast. Pretty much my routine every morning is to start walking, and I just walk until the bell sounds to begin school. And the cafeteria is one of the places I go just to let the kids know that I'm around. Then I come back and lunch. We have some teachers who have been assigned to cafeteria duty. Also, one of the assistant principals is assigned to be in there every day. Not the whole time, but to be visible.
The cafeteria manager, though, there is a central person.
There is a central person. I do not have to do anything as far as the operation of the cafeteria, managing. They have their separate bank account, everything. And they have their own little division, Child Nutrition Services.
Yes.
And in talking to the cafeteria manager, they are all about trying to make profits now.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
It's difficult sometimes. Mm-hmm. Building and grounds.
We manage the custodial staff. Most of our building and grounds maintenance is handled at the central level. And the trend now at the central level is, instead of employing workers who would maintain the schools, they're contracting out a lot of the services. We have 84 schools in the system. And with that number of schools, and they're spread out, Wake Forest is to the extreme north, Fuquay to the extreme south, the distance between those two schools, probably it's close to 60 miles. Mm-hmm. So when you start dispatching people all over the place to take care of maintenance problems, so a lot of it's contracted out. Our lawn services are contracted out. A lot of the electrical work and other things are handled by private contractors.
Community relations.
That is quite a task. We are involved in a lot of things. We're trying to establish some partnerships with some local businesses that haven't been successful yet. I meet with the Chamber of Commerce. I try to meet with them at least once each month. The Chamber has established what they call business after hours receptions that start around 5 o'clock, where area business people come in and just sort of socialize and mingle. Mm-hmm. I try to attend some of those. Also, there's a community council, which our school joined, just to keep the community aware of what's going on. Have a very good relationship with the local school newspaper.
That's good.
They have just been excellent. They don't zero in on a negative. No, they will publish the negative, but they don't dwell on it. Mm-hmm. And that is completely the opposite of our newspaper in Raleigh, mm-hmm. which can be quite negative.
Now, with the students coming from North Raleigh and Roseville and Wake Forest, do you think that the school community has gelled?
Yes and no. I think it has gelled a lot better than I ever expected. The majority of our student body is going right along business as usual, and they're getting along beautifully, no problems. My greatest problem right now is some feuding between black students, and that's a real problem. It seems that those students from the North Raleigh area, those black students from the North Raleigh area, who are, I guess you would consider the haves, seem to be harassed quite a bit by some of the students who live in the town of Wake Forest, who I guess you would consider the have-nots, who live in the projects area, that type of thing. And we have really been wrestling with that. In fact, I've been in a few homes to talk with some parents about the situation. But overall, the communities have gelled.
That kind of disturbs me a bit.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
You think it's a bit of jealousy? Or do they think that the haves are trying to assimilate or become a part of the dominant culture?
I think that may be part of it. Now, in talking with the other high school principals in Wake County, the situation is not just unique to my school. So there's something happening, we're not sure what.
How much administrative power and control do you think you have over your school site and your responsibility?
I think I have quite a bit of responsibility, and I'm not sure how much control, if that makes any sense. I think I do set the direction for the school. There are so many policies, board policies, that we have to adhere to until certainly I can't do everything that I would like to do. For example, we have an attendance policy where if a student misses more than 10 days during the semester, the student automatically fails regardless of what has been accomplished in class. We have a rigid athletic eligibility policy. These types of things limit the control that the principal has in making certain decisions, because what I'm doing is implementing policy. Mm-hmm. Probably the area that I have the least amount of control right now is in the area of personnel, because of, I might hit a sore spot here, but because of teacher tenure. There's been a lot of talk about eliminating principal's tenure, as you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my response to that is, yes, go ahead, do it, and hold the principal accountable, but at the same time, eliminate teacher tenure so that the principal has complete control over the situation. I have one or two teachers who really need to go, and the choice that I have is whether I spend all of my time documenting, trying to get rid of them, whether I want to tackle the political fallout mm-hmm. that's going to occur if I go after them. So the choice is either to deal with that or ignore it and go on.
How did the desegregation of schools affect your role as a principal?
Well, I was a teacher at the time that desegregation occurred. from my observation as a teacher, I think that desegregation really took a lot of the power and control away from principals. I remember when I taught in some segregated situation, at least I perceived the principal to have tremendous power. And I don't think that that is the case anymore, especially for a black principal, that's not the case.
Do you enjoy your job? Why?
Yes, I enjoy it, but not as much as I enjoy teaching. When I taught, I dealt with, everything seemed so positive and upbeat when I taught. And in administration, there are those negative things that you have to deal with, and those decisions that you have to make, and you're standing out there solemnly alone.
Have you found that there's any difference in supervision of black teachers?
On my part, no. I find that the few black teachers who are fortunate enough to work in Wake County after going through all that screening process, I find that they are the cream of the crop. On my staff, I cannot think of a black teacher who is slack. They are a joy to supervise.
What do you consider the major problem of your principalship?
The major problem right now is parent perception of how much control they have over the schools. We have a superintendent who's been here, he's in his second full year, who is big on partnerships. He's big on the involvement of parents. And I think that his philosophy is very good, but given the population that we have in this area, I think a lot of parents have misinterpreted what he perceives as parent involvement. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of parents, and I'm talking basically about middle class on up, who very much believe that they should make the final decisions about schools, not through their electing school board members, mm-hmm. but by their getting on the phone and calling central office. Mm-hmm. And principals, at least in this area, all of the high school principals have expressed concern and indicated that their morale is sort of low because of intervention from the superintendent's office in some decisions which we feel have been sound decisions, and just because enough parents made a lot of noise, they got changed.
What do you consider most rewarding about your principalship?
Seeing something good happen to a student. I really get excited about that. I started something when I was at the middle school that it's hard to keep doing now, but I try to. I have some little note cards that I send to students, not just your honor students or your top athlete, but anything that happens to a kid. I just drop them a note mm-hmm. and tell them how proud we are. And I enjoy calling a student into the office to hand deliver that note to him and teasing that student, because a lot of times they come in and they're just dumbfounded. What have I done? And it's just great to be able to come in and say, well, calm down, you haven't done anything. I want to tell you something good. I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy students. I enjoy seeing teachers have success with students. And when teachers share with me something that's really great that's happened, I enjoy that.
Well, I told you that there were less than 40 black high school principals in the state. Mm-hmm. If you knew of a young black male or female that aspired to be the high school principal in North Carolina, what advice would you give that person?
First of all, be sure that he gets a sound administrative training. Pay close attention to any course that would offer some insight into bureaucracy and politics in general. I think that that person needs to be very much aware of the many hidden obstacles that are out there, that all of them aren't visual. You're not going to be able to recognize all of them. And the person must study people, must become very much in tune to people, period. I think that's the key. And if the person cannot develop any good people skills, may as well forget it.
All right, Mr. Winston,
do you
have any words of wisdom you
want to
give us?
Yes. Try not to forget from whence you've come. That's very important. And at the same time, as you reflect back on your own personal experiences, your background, whatever it might be, remember that when you go on the job, that you have to put your personal feelings, your personal attitudes, even your personal agenda, you have to put that in the proper perspective. Example, I am very much committed to increasing the number of minorities on my staff. Teachers, that's a personal agenda of mine. I'll do whatever I have to do, but at the same time, I won't lose sight of the fact that I just can't do it for numbers' sake. That I've got to be very methodical in my approach, and I got to be sure that the person that I bring on board, I'm going to prove to be the highest of quality people. Because the thing that I learned, my teachers drummed into my head years ago, the old thing of saying about you got to be twice as good, that is still true, very much true. Mm-hmm. And I think since integration, sometimes we tend to forget that, and we tend to trust. We're trusting people.
Oh,
we tend to trust people, and while we think everything's going fine, there are all sorts of little things happening that will knock us off our feet.
What is your main reason for wanting more minority teachers?
To be role models for our kids. Our kids need to see more minority teachers. Also, I think eventually that the education profession is going to regain its prestige and respect, and people are going to finally be compensated for what they do. So I think that for that reason, for economic reasons, I would want to get more minorities involved. Mm-hmm.
Well, I enjoyed the interview. I can tell every one of the principals that I have interviewed, the 64s and the 89s, have been real educators, and I can tell. And I've come to believe that an administrator is an administrator. You know, it doesn't matter about the years, the way you answer the questions, and I think that everyone I've interviewed really loves children. I asked the question, what's the most rewarding? And it's seeing something happen with the children. And I think that that is something that we've lost by not having as many Black administrators, because the role model setting the stage or charting the course for the students through your selection of personnel is very important. And when that's out of your hands, and it's hard to do that.
Right.
But I have a hope, and I have a dream that one day we will regain our place as far, you know, as in education with the changing demographics.
Mm-hmm.
We're having more and more minorities. That has happened in our Statesville City.
Good.
We're almost 50%, almost 50% with the students.
Well, that's great.
But minority students, but we do not have minority teachers. So I'm thinking that some of our problems would be eliminated if we had teachers that understood the situation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping. I really appreciate you taking time on your Saturday, your day of leisure to interview with me.
You're quite welcome. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Good luck to you and your pursuits of whatever.
Well, thank you. Right.
Will you be finishing up this year? That's
what I'm planning.
Good.
To. Yeah, planning to finish. I have 40 interviews to do. And after I get the interviews done, then I'm going to make some analysis of what I found. I've already been shocked because I just thought the perceptions of 89 would be so different from 64, but they're not. As I'm narrowing it down to site assignment and administrative authority, and that way I can finish. If I just deal with everything that I have, and I have lots of material, and I could just go off on one vein and do it, but I'm just going to stick with those to get through. And then I'll probably do some other, there's another person that wants me to do a companion study with him, and he can read some information. Now when I get the transcription back, I'll send you a copy, and there'll be a release form in there, and be two release forms. You sign one and send one back to me if you say it's all right for me to use it.
Well, good. Now what do you do in the central office?
We're in the central office, community schools, Chapter 1, Elementary Ed. Now when they hired me, I was coordinator of Elementary Ed. Then we lost our community schools person. And you know, to keep the funds, they just made me community schools. So, and Chapter 1, I'm just 20% Chapter 1.
So you've got three full-time jobs.
Oh yeah, and more than that. But you know, any other little thing that comes up, but those are the three titles that I have. So really, the merger, I'm hoping, will give me one job, and I wouldn't feel so stretched out, because it's like every year there's more and more to do, and you don't feel as effective.
Yeah. How's the principal situation in Statesville?
Marlon Tate is the principal of the middle school, and Teddy Millsaps is at one of the elementary schools. Those are the only two Black principals we have. At Statesville High School is Sam Kennington and Miriam Evans, co-principal.
Oh.
Yeah, co-principal.
Are they both Black?
No. One white and one Black. We don't have but two Black principals out of the eight schools in Statesville. Now, out in the county, there are 20 schools. And Faye Rucker is at one of the elementary schools. There is Jonathan Bias.
I used to work with Jonathan.
Yeah,
he's the principal
of it in elementary school.
Jonathan Bias.
Yeah, and okay. Then there's one more Black man.
What about Patterson? Is he a principal?
Patterson.
He's an older guy.
Was his wife named Margie?
Margie, yes.
Yeah, well, Mr. Patterson died. Yeah.
Oh,
he died the year before last. Had a heart attack or something.
I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Marge comes over to visit the lady where I live.
Mm-hmm. Well, was
Patterson in administration at the time?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't, cause he wasn't, I don't think he was working when I came to state. So I've been there 6 years, but I don't think he was really.
He was Leroy Campbell's right hand man when I was teaching at Unity. I just wondered if when they integrated, if he went into an administrative.
No, and actually in the county, they don't have a black in the high school. You know, they have three high schools, North, West, and South. So we'll have four high schools in the county when we merge. And see, and they're not ready. I asked Dr. Couch, I said, are we ready yet to have a black band director in Statesville? He said, you think they were ready yet? They still are not ready for a black band director. And you know there's some things we can do. I said, it really bothers me. I know some things we can do.
Right.
We can do that real, and I know we have children that can sing. But you go to a concert, and I mean, you see about three blacks in the whole choir. See, they have just pushed us out.
Right. That has happened, I see that happening in this county now. Ever since I left the band director's post to become an assistant principal, I say I've always been in these token roles.
Mm-hmm.
There has not been a black high school band director. I've been some in the middle school and elementary school. But as far as high school, you're talking about 12 high schools. And the thing that just makes me so sick is you go to a program and you see this jazz band up there. Now, you know jazz, that's ours.
Yeah.
And you see all these white kids, and they can play it, and they can play it too.
They can play it, but you know we can play it naturally.
And right, and you don't see any of them.
No. Yeah. And that's because we still don't feel a part.
Right.
The school is not our place anymore,
mm-hmm.
because nobody's there to make us feel like it's our place.
Right. And that's why I want more black
teachers
in the academic area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need any more black vocational teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need more black field education teachers. They're gonna. Kids going to play sports for God.
Well, guess what? There's one black principal that I interviewed Monday down in Gumbary, North Carolina. His name is Willie Gilkes. Has 18 black teachers. He's in Northampton County. He said he has not hired a white teacher in 6 years, and he said he told the board, told the superintendent he needed teachers to help his children. He found that the counselor was just telling the kids, white counselor, that can't make it in college, so you know, he's best going to the service. And he said, and he had been in a white school up in Syracuse, New York, I think. And he said he knew there was always something missing with him. He had only had one black teacher. He didn't have anybody he could go to talk, to feel as if he could relate to that person or they could relate to him. And see, that's what our children are experiencing.
Exactly. They're experiencing exactly what has happened in the North years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have, most of my relatives are in New Jersey, New York area.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all of my cousins, and a whole lot of them, a heck of a lot smarter than I am, none of them went to college.
But this thing was off.
Oh, are you still recording?
I thought it was off.